My bad, Jesse. Let's go to Manny. Let's go talk to my guy, Manny. What's up, man? What's on your mind, big dog?
Well, you know, there's 2 points to this that really I think about. One is we really, in Sacramento, because of history and players leaving and such, we convinced these role players that play so hard. And, yes, they have a role, right? Like, we'll take Keon. Look, I love everything he does. And if we were in that contention mode, if we were trying to get to that next step, he's the perfect player for this team, right? He's like a GP3 was for the Warriors. But it also, those type of players, they have a short shelf life because they play so hard that they're going to get injured at some point because they're always giving you 120% every time they come and play defense on the floor. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, like, by the time we get back to where we need to get to, if we're doing this right, I don't know what that team. I love Keon, right? But if you can go get a young player and resetting yourself and you're getting the organization back to where it needs to get to and doing it the right way and not trying to do it, you know, I think you have to think long term. And I don't know Keon's role on this particular in this organization long term, 4 years from now, 5 years from now. You know,
because
we kind of
finished. All right. Manny, what's going on there? With the 203 freeze here.
We try to run it. But
Manny was like us last week, man. He was freezing up like us, brother.
We couldn't even clip nothing on that one. He was looking crazy.
I was sad. I wanted to go back crazy. And clip some stuff.
Want to get to TC?
Yeah. Let's hear from my guy, TC, man. TC, what's good, baby?
Hello?
TC,
what up, man?
Oh, hey, what's it? Hey, y'all put me straight on, bro. What's up with my two brothers? Hey, Jesse, hey, you a fool for that. Jesse sneaky, boy, ain't he?
Yeah, man. Come on, man. We see you on the line. What's up, baby?
You VIP, TC. Hey, come on.
Hey, listen, it's good. Leezy, what's up? Hey, so look, check it out. I'm doing that deal today, bro, in a heartbeat, and I love Kia. But the athleticism from Kuminga and the upside, bro, is what we need for this team. We already know what Keon is, right? Mm. And in that case, if they're talking about switch Keon out for Carter, we might as well keep Carter because Devin can do the same defensive things that Keon can do. If only thing he got to work on is his listen. Hold on, Kitty.
Hold on, Kitty.
I'm letting you cook. I ain't saying nothing.
But listen, Lizzie, if we're talking about defense and he's a better rebounder than Keon, so at that point I'm keeping Devin, moving him, and then the boy Kuminga can be the stretch four, right? So you got Domas, Kuminga, the boy Murray, he can go back down to the three. The two can be Zach LaVine, and then you run with Schroeder. The bench, we'll work that out, bro. But if that's what's holding this up, bro, you got to do that deal, bro. Because you got Carter in your back pocket, big homie. DeRozan, we're going to find a spot for you.
All right, okay. TC. I hear you cooking. I will completely disagree with you right here. And not to say that he said this. I don't want to say that, but Keon Ellis is way better than Devin Carter.
Yes.
He's way better than Devin Carter. That is not we'll just switch them out or whatever. That's no disrespect to Devin, but that's a downgrade. Like you're getting the lesser player if you try to swap that out. You're in that particular situation, Keon is far better than Devin Carter. I don't think they're close right now.
Good call, TC, but yeah, I'm not rocking with the Carter-Ellis thing, man. Ellis definitely a better player.
But here's the other thing that we're not talking about as well. Mm. And this goes into how you feel about making a deal and how far you're willing to go. How does Scott Perry look at Jonathan Kuminga?
Mm.
If he looks at Jonathan Kuminga as a guy that, y'all, this is a risk, and I'm willing to take this risk because the upside could change our fortunes as a franchise. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to take that risk. Like you mentioned, like Manny mentioned, mm-hmm. Jesse mentioned.
Shout out to Manny.
I don't know when this particular opportunity is going to come by again. I might not even be here the next time this opportunity comes by to get a guy that I know his floor. Yeah. I know what he can do in this league. I have an idea of what he could be in this league, and he's right here for the taking. I'm taking that opportunity, and I'm not going to allow Devin Carter or Keon Ellis to stop me from taking that opportunity.
Yeah.
If that's how Scott Perry is looking at Jonathan Kuminga, 100%. 100%. You do what you need to do to get that guy in the building. Now, if Scott Perry is looking at Jonathan Kuminga and saying, I like him, man. The upside is there. Had a good conversation for him. Good conversation with him. I like the guy. I'm not completely sold. You know, he's cool. Mm-hmm. Then no, you don't trade Keon Ellis.
Yeah.
If it's a guy that you're not sold on and you're not willing to go all in and taking the risk, then absolutely not. You don't put Keon Ellis on the table. Mm-hmm. You say, if I can get him with this, cool. Like, good. But I'm not going to overextend myself to go get Jonathan Kuminga, a guy that I'm not really that crazy about and I don't believe in that much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. And I think Jesse's feeling this way. I think Leezy feels this way. Jonathan Kuminga, in my opinion, is worth the risk.
I think he's worth the risk.
And hear what I say. He is a risk.
Yeah.
There is no guarantee that he's going to reach the heights that you think he might be able to, that he has shown the potential to. He could be just a random, you know, 18-point-per-game scorer who scores points. Maybe he gets to 20, but it doesn't affect anything. Once again, this isn't a shot. This is just an example.
Yeah.
He could be Marcus Thornton. You know, Marcus Thornton was a 20-point-per-game scorer, but it didn't result in any type of success for the Kings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Marcus Thornton was a bucket.
He was a bucket.
Like, he could
I'll never
could
forget
score.
Him playing in the Heat.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite players during that era. Like, I loved his game,
yeah, yeah.
But it didn't result in winning. That could be what Jonathan Kuminga is.
Mm.
It is a risk. 100%, it is a risk.
Yeah.
But it's a risk that I'm willing to take, and I'm not going to allow – a guy that, well, I'm trying to be respectful because I love Keon.
We all do.
But I'm not going to allow a guy who doesn't start for me right now to keep me from taking that risk.
Yeah, from getting someone that potentially
I think that
could be a start.
I think that's bad business, man. I think that's bad business. I wouldn't go about it that way.
Yeah, and you got to jump on these opportunities. When you're in a place like the Kings are, if you have a chance to get a young potential star that has a high upside, you got to take it. Because Kings fans will be quick to say, oh, draft, we never draft anyone good. Oh, trades, oh, we never get the big players. Okay, you got an opportunity now to get someone with that high ceiling. So I jump on it. And obviously, yeah, we would like to keep Keon. But if that's what's stopping this from the Warriors, then you got to make some tough decisions.
And at the same time,
if Keon's already feeling a certain type of way, which I don't know. I listen to the insiders. I'm not an insider. I don't know nothing. But if Keon's feeling a certain type of way, then do what's best for him and do what's best for your team.
Mm-hmm. And if I feel that way about Jonathan Kuminga, about taking that risk, taking that chance to go get him, I got to go get him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I got to go get him.
Yeah.
And I understand, oh, why would you do that if nobody's offering anything else? It's not about, for me personally, it's not about 100% others not offering. It's about, I want this player. I can get the deal done this way. I'm not going to go crazy. Like, they're not getting Keon, Devin, and 2 picks. Like, that's
no.
I'm not going to go crazy.
No.
I'm going to be responsible with it. Mm-hmm. But I'm also not going to let, if I really believe in him and I really believe in taking that chance, I'm also not going to let that opportunity slip away.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get the player that I want. I'm going to go get him.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way that I go about it. You know what I mean? Like, and some might say that's bad business. I'm not even that exactly sure that's how Scott Perry goes about things. But in that situation, I'm going to go get that guy.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm approaching the situation.
We're sitting up around here talking about 2027. We can go make a move now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying he's about to be your franchise cornerstone and all that, but I want to see what he can do. Remember we were talking during the playoffs how upset I was during the T-Wolves and the Warriors series?
Oh, yeah, because you're a Warriors fan. That's
no,
right.
No, the, you see I remember the media, that. I remember that. Yeah. The media just out here spreading lies again. Can't trust the media. but no, I was upset because I remember at the time some people felt like Kuminga wasn't playing that great. And my thing was, yeah, Kerr hasn't set him up for success. He doesn't give him the minutes in the regular season to be ready for those moments. They broke the glass and said, all right, we just need Kuminga to do something. And that I just feel like he hasn't had his opportunity here in Sacramento once we start.
He hasn't, but I also want to stay true to what I've said. If anybody's listening to me talk about Jonathan Kuminga, said it again this morning, I'll reiterate it here. I do have concerns that he's empty calories. Mm. Like I've said a number of different times when they go against the Warriors, if Jonathan Kuminga wants to score 25, cool. If that makes sure that Steph Curry doesn't go for 36, cool, I'll take that. Yeah. I don't think that's going to affect winning in that situation. Now, what you've got to find out or what you're going to be rolling the dice on is that type of mindset that I have for Jonathan Kuminga. Is it exclusive to the Warriors or is it who he is as a basketball player? Once again, talking about a guy like Marcus Thornton who scored 20, but it didn't lead to winning.
Yeah.
And that's something you don't know. That's why it's a gamble. That's why you're rolling the dice. So,
and here's the thing: you're getting younger because a lot of people. I like LaVine and DeRozan. A lot of people hate on them. Defense, money, whatever. Mm. But they say, oh, they're just empty calories. Just put up numbers. Blah blah blah. They're older. You can get a Kuminga who's younger, who maybe can turn into something. And I don't know. I'm in on Kuminga. That's just me.
I am too. Hopefully it doesn't cost a guy like Keon. That's the best of both worlds, man. Hopefully you can get him without including a Keon Ellis, man. We got our guy Eddie Gonzalez, one of the young goats out here. He's going to join D'Lo and Casey for his Friday hit. We're going to talk more hoop. We're going to talk a little bit about this, but we're going to talk about the NBA in general. And I probably want to talk to him a little bit about something that's going around where I don't know if expansion's happening anytime soon, man. So we'll talk about all that, talk about hoop. We'll talk about anything with my man Eddie, man. That's how it goes. It's D'Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320, number one sports station. Back here on D'Lo and KC. ESPN 1320, man. Come on, man. KC and friends, man. Have my boy Leezy rocking with me for a little bit. Leezy going to pull up on us again, too. But we also got my man Eddie Gonzalez, man. He getting the connection going, getting right around the corner. There he goes, right there. Straight out of Yonkers. You know what I'm saying? My man in Yonkers right now. You know what it is. Nah, I don't know if he's in Yonkers at all. But
what's Eddie Gonzalez. On,
what's up, man?
What's going on?
Man, it feel like it's been a minute since I talked to you, man. I was off. I think you was gone the week before. It's been a minute since I hollered at my guy, man. What's up?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's that time of summer, right?
Yeah,
everybody
I feel you.
Doing some stuff.
I feel you.
Happy belated, by the way.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Hey, so I'm not like a big wish happy birthday on Instagram guy. I feel like it's a nuisance to the birthday part. Like I feel like I'd be saving people, but I'm speaking to you now so I can tell you.
I appreciate you. And I appreciate the love on social media from everybody. Like I got a lot of it. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of it. And I want it to continue. I'm not saying this to say like next year don't say nothing. Like please. I appreciate the love and everybody doing it. It gets a little overwhelming. I feel bad if I only respond to like the first 10 people and then 20. I don't know what to do sometimes. So it's a lot.
Only so many times I can type yes, sir. And then
Appreciate you, big dog.
You know what I'm going to do, though? One of these days, I'm going to pretend it's my birthday. And I'm going to just see who really knows. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to just do that.
It's like 6 months away from your birthday, and you have the caption, like, 36. I'm blessed. And they'll be like, oh, what's up, dog? Happy birthday. Well, you don't follow me? You just don't be paying attention? Like, this. I literally had my birthday 3 weeks ago.
It's funny, too, because I don't expect nobody to know my birthday. Who just knows birthdays unless we see them, right? But I would like to trick a few people and then like, see, you didn't know.
When
like,
is your birthday?
I'm not going to tell you now because when I do the fake out.
I'm going to check. No, I'm checking, man. I'll be like, nah.
My birthday's in November, man.
Yeah, see, so there are certain people where I've had them in my life long enough where I may not know the day, but I know the general time of year. I'm like, that sounds about right. Eddie, I've really known Eddie for maybe 2 or 3 years. So I don't know that yet. I'm not there yet. About 3 years from now, I'll know, like, oh, yeah, November, we'll that's his time. So you would have got me. Like, if you would have, like, next week, if you would have been like, 36, God bless me, I would have been like, hey, big dog, happy birthday. He would have got me. Would have got my ass.
And you know, like, the birthdays are funny, too, because it's like, now I got to go find that one picture me and this person have, and I'm going to run it up.
and for the third year in a row, put that on my stories. Same picture. Like, I'm like, damn, I ain't like seen this dude in a year. We ain't took a flick in a year where I could take a new one. That's cold. And I got to make sure I'm looking good in the picture. It don't matter about him. I got to be fresh.
Oh, I like this picture of me. Let me wish you a happy birthday, Woody.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah, man. But everything going good with you? I was telling everybody after Summer League, which you didn't attend. Now the NBA offseason is like really here. Like now.
Yeah.
Everybody goes on vacation. You know, there's
you're seeing all these pits. I literally just put my phone down. Chet Holmgren was on vacation in his finals picture. Yeah. So like you're seeing everybody on vacation, people getting married. My boy.
People getting married. Hey, it don't matter to me, but you know, the homies are like, yo, why didn't somebody give us a heads up? Why didn't we know this was the case? And I know that's your homegirl, so why didn't we know?
So look, I knew for some time, right? And then it's like everybody's in town too. So like I'm like, oh, maybe I'll pop up, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do this. I didn't go to like it was a little too celebrity for me.
Yeah,
but I kept wondering. And I talked to Taylor too, and I'm like, I wonder when this is gonna go public. Uh-huh. And then it finally did. And I knew it went public because like 7 group chats lit up. Like I hadn't even seen it yet. And I'm like, oh, y'all seeing the news, huh?
Hey, that came out of nowhere. The homies hit me up in the group chat like, WTF? 4 question marks, everything.
That's the kind of respect Taylor got, though, because in this world where we share everything,
yeah,
people been knowing about the wedding, the engagement, everything for a while.
Yeah,
now.
It was like a real wedding. It was like a real wedding. It wasn't like, oh, she just – no, this was – probably half a year of planning, a beautiful location, invites, all this, but all these people knew it and nobody said nothing.
Nobody got eloped here. This was a thing. But like the engagement was a big thing and they kept that tight. So like, you know, the proposal. So again, salute to Taylor. Clearly everybody loves her because everybody kept their mouth shut, including me. I seen some broken hearts on the timelines, on the group chats.
They didn't even know Taylor. Broken hearts.
Yeah. Zero chance, by the way. Zero chance at that gorgeous woman. But I know it ruined some days, boy.
I was telling, I forgot who I was talking to the other day, but Taylor last year came to Sacramento for a game. And I didn't meet her. I didn't have an opportunity. I would have told her like, hey, I think, because in professionally, I think she's dope. I think she does a really good job. So I probably would have said something like that. But I was telling people, I saw from a distance after the game was over, the line for a picture with Taylor Rooks, I don't want to exaggerate it, but there was a line for a picture with Taylor Rooks. And she was like really nice. She was took people's pictures, like really nice about it, smiles, pleasantries and everything. But yeah, she'd be having a line for people to be like, hey, Taylor, can I get a picture?
It's a commotion if Taylor's in a room. It's a commotion, and she's polite like you said, and she lets everybody have their moment. And that's, you know, Taylor took me on my first red carpet walk, so she's like that type of person. Who's like, come on, you're walking the carpet. I'm like, no, it's a, come on. Like, so it's all love with Taylor. I know it hurt a bunch of people, but it's the season. It is the summer, and you see. Very strategically planned for that very important sportswoman, Taylor Rooks, right at the NBA draft and big free agency, everything, and right before OTAs. Like, she was not playing, boy. Yeah. She knew exactly what she was doing.
She on her job. We kind of saw the same thing last year with Malika, huh? Didn't she get married around this time? She's only basketball, so it didn't affect her the same way with, like, OTAs and stuff and training camp. But, yeah, this is the time. This is the time somebody next year probably get married around this time. That probably when Coco and Donovan get married, probably around this time next year.
That one's gonna be one of them ones too. That might take a couple years because she might want to make sure that joint. She just seen a fly wedding. She's like, all right,
let that marinate a little bit. Yeah, let me.
You know, that's like it's kind of like us with the shoes. Like,
yeah.
Like more elaborate, but Like, oh man, I seen how Kenny put on the 11s. Let me see.
Let me go. Man, you know what? I forgot I had those in the closet. Let me see what I could do with them now. Yeah, let me see.
Stuff. Let's see. Yeah. So, no doubt, you know, I'm expecting that one to be crazy.
Yeah, and then your boy was there. Obviously, you talk about Star Set Event, looking real dapper. He looking real fresh. That's not my guy. I don't know him like that, but that's my guy. I ain't never seen a lineup that crisp. Well, that boy was like, sharp. I said, what?
Hey, my man been wearing chrome hearts and all kind of stuff. Like, he on a different place right now, man. I just salute. He been in the gym lifting. I've been cracking up. Like, man, not you getting biceps. What you doing, bro?
We talk about Kevin Durant, obviously. He was in the building, man. So I want to talk like NBA in general with you. We've been talking a lot of Kings. And I'll ask you some of the stuff that's going on with Jonathan Kuminga. Just your opinion on it, right? But when we talk about the Western Conference, I've said there's a tier where I think OKC is the favorite going into next year to repeat, win the West, all this other stuff. I think Houston is a championship contender. I don't know if I'm ready until I see the season and see the games to say they're on the same tier as OKC. It's like, I guess they'd be like the favorites type tier. But I think Houston is a championship contender. And I don't think there's any other championship contenders in the West. A little below that, I have Denver and I do have the Clippers. Would you change any of that? Like, would you put Denver up there with Houston or the Clippers up there with Houston?
Put my bias hat on. I'm gonna put Houston. on their own tier and say they're gonna win. But I think they all have things we go into the season concerned about. When you look at Houston, to me, it's dribble creation. Mm-hmm. And I said this to Kevin. We talked about it the day he got traded, and there was still some adjustments to be made and stuff like that. But they have one point guard right now, Fred VanVleet. Mm-hmm. And even the guys they added, like Josh Okogie, it's not like he's going to play point guard. So there's a lot of responsibility on Kevin at that point. Or Amen Thompson, if he's making this leap and playing a little bit more point guard. And we see every year how much, you know, dribble creation matters, shot creation matters. And I think if you're pro Houston, you say, well, Kevin can do that. And if you're pro Kevin, you say, yeah, well, Kevin can do that. Mm-hmm. But we see how teams defend him, and teams are going to trap him and double him and get the ball out of his hand and see that he can do that. And, you know, I have confidence in his ball handling ability, but I would rather there be some help somewhere.
Right.
When I look at Denver, it's like, you know, there's injuries, obviously, you worry about. You worry about Jamal Murray. You worry about, you know, is Christian Braun have another leap in him? You got to get Cam Johnson in there. I think he's a great fit, though, so I don't think that's going to be hard. I think that's the team that we all kind of looking past right now, maybe because we're used to Jokic, whatever it is. That's the team to me that's like, yo, I think they're in that tier as well. Like, I think they're in that tier with OKC where that team can win a title. They got way better this offseason, and they didn't do much with it. They got Bruce Brown for next to nothing. They got Cam, who I think is a better fit at this point than Mike. Mike is probably a better player, Michael Porter Jr., but right. they've solidified their roster in a way that I think you're looking at that and you're saying, yo, we took OKC to seven games, and we honestly should have won. We got better this offseason. They're pretty much running it back. We think we're the better team. Right. So, I mean, those are the teams to me. When I look at the Clippers is a little bit too old. Like, it worries me a little bit. And that's with Kawhi, obviously, with his concerns. You know, you add Chris Paul, who is, like, that old. And James, obviously, with his injury concerns as well. But I love the Brad Beal pickup for them. I love what he brings, whether it's off the bench or as a starter, at a cheaper price than what you had for him in Phoenix. It's easy to say he's not as good as $54 million, and that's true. But when you get him at this price, he can play up to that. So I like what they did. I'm not a big Chris Paul fan, especially at this stage in his career, especially next to James Harden, especially next to Kawhi Leonard. But that's a team that's going to be reckoned with. But we said that all last year, and then they were out quick too. So, you know, that's one of those teams I got to see it. So I'd put them a tier below. And then it's all jumbled up from there.
You think
Steph Curry and everything else going on after that, and it's a mess.
That's what I was going to ask you too with the West. Do you think there's somebody we're leaving out or we're overlooking? I don't, until, like I said, I see the games, and maybe, you know, I feel differently when I see them playing. But like right now, I don't look at the Lakers as being that type of team, a championship team. I don't look at the Warriors like that. I don't think the Spurs are there. I don't think Minnesota is there as much as I like Ant and everything else like that. I think those four teams that we originally talked about, I think they've separated themselves from everybody else in the West.
Look, there's a massive question mark with the Spurs to me. I mean, it's a salute to Wemby, if anything. It's a small salute to De'Aaron Fox. I'm also a huge Dylan Harper fan. Mm-hmm. So seeing him in the Summer League, seeing what he has, and Summer League is a mess. You know, Summer League is jumbled. It's nasty basketball anyway. Mm-hmm. But seeing him next to NBA size, seeing how big he is, a healthy 6'6", I'm really excited about what that team's going to be. Victor Wembanyama is one of those like defensive forces that everybody's going to be able to play defense around him because you can't drive. So if I know you can't drive, I can do all kind of stuff to you now. You know, I could look a lot better than I am defensively. And I think, you know, look, he's maybe the best prospect of all time. He's made a gradual leap in his second year. I'm talking another one in his third year. The other team I'd point out is Dallas. Just because I love that for Cooper Flagg. I'm not the biggest Cooper Flagg fan, but I love the situation for him. He can come along slower. He's not going to kind of have that Ace Bailey situation where he's going to have the ball and not only be able to look as good as he can look, but also look as bad as he can look. And he's surrounded by veterans who are going to help, you know, teach him the culture of the league and help him slot into a role on that team. And when Kyrie comes back, if, you know, Kyrie kind of makes it sound like he maybe not by this season, it should be full steam ahead. And I think Jason Kidd's a great coach for them too. So that's another team that's a sneaky one, but they're going to sneak up on us in February and March when they're fully healthy and they get going. And maybe they add LeBron James. Who knows?
Well, there's always that. LeBron, that's an interesting character right now, boy. LeBron, he'd made sure he'd been a topic of conversation all summer in sports and outside of sports.
I love how LeBron makes it all about him no matter what. Like, he's clearly involved with Tyler, the Creator's album somehow, some way. He could have just said nothing. The video could have just dropped. But his ass go on Thursday talking about, let's go. Why are you saying that? They searching your tweets for Tyler, the Creator tweets for 20 years and he ain't found none. And then it's just like, you know, right then and there, you could kind of guess. He might be involved somehow. Yeah. Sure enough, there he is in the video. So, I mean, look, I'm a little like – I don't love how tabloidy sports is these days. Yeah. I kind of don't care what he's dancing to with his wife or whatever. Although, but it is funny to watch.
He was dancing to that song like it was the second week the song came out. At this point, sir, there's no reason to be dancing that hard to that song.
He was dancing like it was the Gap Band or something. Like it was like took him back. You know what I mean? Like this, we on the cruise and they're playing the jams and we just. You know, it like I'm not trying to psychoanalyze LeBron and Drake, but this is my point. Mm. When Drake made a song and he's dissing like fraud people, a lot of people just assumed it was LeBron. Nobody said Drake was wrong. A lot of people jumped out and said, "Hey, don't do that to LeBron."
Right.
It wasn't about LeBron, but the shoe fit for a lot of people, and to me, that's enough. You could kind of allude at somebody being a little wishy-washy and off, and people will immediately defend LeBron. It's like, you kind of telling on yourself a little bit there. But anyway, yeah, I'm ready for basketball. I'm ready for football. Like, can we stop seeing football. These dudes dancing this song?
It's almost time to get there. I do want to talk to you about football, too, because training camp has started. Raiders, you're a Raider fan. I want to know what you think about it. But I want to ask you one more thing about basketball, and I don't know how tapped in you are to it because it's not the biggest story just yet. It's kind of went under the radar this week, but this whole situation about expansion and how we may not be as close as we realize or we thought we were to NBA expansion. Adam Silver talked, I think, during Summer League, answered questions with reporters, and he really kind of sidestepped the question a lot and was kind of talking about, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, are interested in getting teams, and it's something that we've got to do. And he said something that, like, really resonated with a lot of reporters. Was he like, when you talk about expansion, we're really, like, on day one of that process. And everybody thought we were, like, damn near at the finish line. Like, what do you mean day one? A lot of people are speculating that the owners are kind of looking at the new TV deal. They're like, Yeah, we want to split that 1 of 30, not 1 of 32. Like, what you talking about? Expansion can wait. We ain't splitting it up just yet. Do you like kind of agree with what everybody else is kind of hypothesizing, that the thought of Vegas and Seattle may be a little further down the road than we realized?
Yeah, like that's one of those stories that's kind of, like you mentioned, been under the radar, been kind of building up for some time. I mean, a couple years ago, for all intents and purposes, it seemed like Kevin was on his way to some portion of a team in Seattle, and LeBron and the Fenway group were on their way to some portion of a team in Vegas. But it quieted quick for whatever reason. And the most insight I ever had to it was when the Commanders went up for sale after all of that. And I remember asking Kevin outright, like, yo, are you going to get in on this? And it's like, I'm just not there yet. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to, but I'm just not there yet. Yeah. And you know, we talked a little bit about the NBA team, and he was the one who kind of made like, yo, that's like way out the way, like way pipe dream at this moment. And so I was just like, oh, okay, you know, again, just tuck that. We're just having a casual conversation. Right. But the LeBron noise died down a lot too. Mm-hmm. And his connections with the Fenway group and all the stuff they're doing. And I think Kevin just became part of a soccer team group. I don't pay the closest attention to all of it, but it did definitely seem like the expansion talks quieted down. And Adam Silver said something, maybe it was around the All-Star break, where like they're closer to a team in Paris than they are to a team in Seattle. Yeah, yeah. And that kind of went under the radar too, but it was like, it was telling, because it was the NBA's mission for 20 years has been international expansion, in international, just global expansion. And so much of their moves in terms of marketing, in terms of business, in terms of everything else pointed towards that. They have the United States. It's fine. They have Canada. It's fine. They have some of Mexico. It's fine. They want China, they want Germany, they want England, they want all of this stuff, and they are consistently making moves towards that. So when he said that, you know, we're closer to Paris than we are to Seattle, that's what jumped out to me as well. I think it's a while before they want to split that money up. The values of these teams are so overwhelming right now that I think that in and of itself creates a problem too, because it's like, okay, what do we charge you to get in now? Because we just had a team valued at $10 billion. Like, right. what are you going to get? How do you buy into a league where that's $10 billion worth of work? We just had a W team worth $500 million. Like, so it's like, I don't think there's a rush there. I don't think they need it. I don't think they have the talent pool for that either. We have some bad teams. And so I don't see there's the rush for that. Maybe some realignment, but I think they're also waiting for the expansion to make their realignment as well.
And they got another team that they've got to sell and set the floor, I would think, when talking about the Trailblazers. I don't think the Blazers are going for the Lakers, what the Lakers did. But if somebody potentially, you know, whether it's Phil Knight or somebody overpays, quote unquote overpays for Portland and gets them at $5 billion, all right, Portland just went for $5 billion. That's the floor. Like, that's where we're starting. And now you're asking a question, and I'm sure there's people who would do it, but like, now the pool starts to shrink of people who are like, all right, man, you want me to pay $9 billion to be in the NBA? Like, I'm cool. Like, I don't really need to do that.
When the Lakers are valued at $10 billion, and that, look, the valuation is true, you are what we can sell you for, you start looking at the Knicks and saying, well, that might be 15. You know, they have the building, they have everything. Or you start looking at the Cowboys and it's like, is the Cowboys $20 billion? Like, what is each of these situations? What is the Dodgers? What is the Yankees? And so when you put $10 billion up there, you completely alter the sports landscape, right? And we're probably on our way to a $1 billion W franchise at some point if the Valkyries are $450 million, right? So everything's changed. And like, just like you just said, there's only so many people that can foot a $10 billion bill on Earth. And then you start getting into, you know, it was rumored for a while that the Saudis may get involved with the Celtics. And it's like, how deep do you go down that rabbit hole? And on and on and on and on. And personally, I don't think the NBA cares. But it's just Pandora's box. Right. So I don't think they're ready for that. But when they are, the line for those two teams, or one or whatever it is, it will be four times as long as the line is for these W teams, and everybody's lining up for these.
Well, and then you brought it up, and you're 100% right. I remember seeing this too, and I continue to see it. I saw it yesterday, where Adam seems to be like, he's the main thing. I want to say the main thing. One of the things I keep consistently hearing is he's locked in on this Euro version of the NBA, like battling the Euro League and stuff like that. And it kind of feels like that's his baby right now. That's what he's trying to foster, as opposed to two more teams in America. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that goes towards how the league is marketed as well. We had these conversations a bit before. We haven't really moved on from the big three. But when I talk to people in the league and the marketing teams in the league office, and they handle international comms and all this stuff, yo, 2 years ago when all three of those guys were out playing in first round, it was a panic. Because everything dips when LeBron, Steph, and KD are gone. Everything. And their focus is international expansion. And so we need to see massive numbers over there. You know who people watch in other countries? You know who they tune in for? LeBron, Steph, and KD.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
You know, love all the young guys, love all the other stars, all of that, you know, great stuff. But they're here to see LeBron, Steph, and KD. So there's a lot of work to be done. I think that's a huge focus for the NBA as well. Like, how do we expand internationally without those three guys? Because we're going to have those three guys forever. Mm-hmm. How do we build up the stars we have? I think the last wave of stars, the guys who are approaching 30 and into 30 now, we're talking about the Jokic's and the Giannis's, didn't quite have the boost as they would hope. And then you have this next wave of stars, you know, the Tatums, the Anthony Edwards, the Shays, and eventually the Wimbys. And they're hoping that's going to be the wave where it happens. You know, again, the NBA's focus has been for 20 years expanding internationally. It was David Stern's baby, is now Adam Silver's baby. So much like he said, like we might see a Paris team before we see the Seattle team. If, you know, if they can handle the travel and make all that make sense, I think we would have already had it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's a few barriers in the way, but they're going to play more and more international games every year. They're playing more next year. They're going to China next year. I think we're just going to continue that upward trajectory.
Eddie, before I get you out of here, we got about 30 seconds. I got to get the, just the, we're going to have a more in-depth conversation as the month goes along, but just real quick, real surface, how you feel about your Raiders, man? Would you thinking 500 is a possibility?
Hey man, we got extra playoff spot this year. I mean, I'm bought into Geno. It's that time of year. Like once they start playing these preseason games and I'm like, man, Geno been cool for a couple years and Max looks good and this and that. I mean, it's,
they need an O line. I think that's their biggest.
Yeah, issue. It's the line, and I don't love drafting a running back at five when you need a line. But I think they'll be competitive. Bunch.
Ginty worth it.
But Pete Carroll said the other day, like, I've been winning 10 games a year for 20 years. They're going to be a competitive, prepared bunch. I just don't know if they have the talent, like you said, on the line and now the D line. When they lose my guy yesterday,
that was crazy.
But it is what it is. Before I go,
yeah,
shout out my dog Marcus. He dropped the album today. It's fire. They're performing at the State Fair. They posting it all over his stuff. Okay. Marcus C+.
He performing tonight at the fair?
I think it is tonight.
Okay.
He doing a set with Plus, and I just wanted to shout them out because I hate that I can't be out there for some of this stuff. But
hey, bro, it's been too long.
Like the fair is cracking again, man.
It is. It is. The weather's been great too. That's the killer. Like that's the good thing. Like it hasn't been 100 for pretty much since the first night the fair was here. It was like really hot, and Ludacris was here, but it still had a good crowd. After that, it's been like, I don't even know if it's gotten into the 90s since then. Like it's been hella good. So it's been too long, bro. You keep saying it's been too long. You need to get back out here, bro. Stop playing with us.
It's 95 and storming out here right now. Marcus got that album, Not Enough Years. That's what it's called. So I want to get it right. Yo, I was supposed to come next week. Cats out the bag. I was supposed to come next week. I had to cancel last minute. I had to do some work stuff out here. But I'll be out there soon, man. My daughter just got a crib. Like, she want me to see it. It's a lot going on.
When you get out here, it's live in the studio, bro. You got to pull up, bro.
That was like, bro. We're going to talk because I need to make that happen.
Yes, sir. Eddie, man, I appreciate you, man. Enjoy your weekend. I'm going to talk to you next week, big dog.
Yes, sir. Salute, my guy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got Bonte Hill coming up in about 45 minutes or so. I want to talk to Jesse a little bit more about the expansion thing. And I do want to get into this Cam Newton situation because people just aren't listening. They're not hearing. We'll get into all of this, man. It's D-Lo and KC. This will be ESPN 1320. Sacramento's number one sports station. D-Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320, and I just have to play this for the radio audience, or excuse me, YouTube audience. Go check us out, ESPN 1320 on YouTube and Twitch. And we were talking about UFC during the break, and they've got guys fighting this weekend. Well, I don't know who they are. Once again, I'm not here to say they are bad or anything like that. I'm just telling you, and I'm a fringe guy. I just, hey. A fringe
In the words of Mike Tyson, I come from a different culture.
Yeah, I'm not here to say it's good or bad. I'm just telling you, they have people fighting for the heavyweight championship this weekend with UFC who I haven't heard of them.
And my point was, because back in the day, I used to be in a UFC. I said, hey, back in the day, we used to have personalities. We had Rampage Jackson. We had Kimbo Slice. We had Forrest Griffin. We had people that moved the needle.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's John Smith from Wyoming fighting. I mean, who is this? I don't know these people.
I don't know. Like I said, and look, maybe it's not for me to know. Like if I'm a boxing fan,
okay.
I know Sebastian Fundora.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You know
I know Bam Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I know Boots Ennis. Oh. I know those guys. UFC fans or other people, they may be like, yo, who is this? I don't know Boots Ennis. Yeah. So that's fair.
Not your bag.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying. But I came across this clip the other day. Jesse, you might enjoy this, where it was some, it's not UFC, but it's some MMA fight. And this poor guy gets knocked down. Sorry to the radio audience, but I think this is good. Poor guy gets knocked out, and nobody comes to get a look. He's knocked out. Fight's over. You know, guy's there in the middle of the ring. He's celebrating. The ref is saying he's knocked out.
Yo.
Where's the where's the doctors?
He's laid out like D-Boy at the end of
doctors?
Friday.
The doctors aren't in the ring yet.
Somebody help.
And medical just calmly gets over to him. The man hasn't moved yet.
He needs some milk. He's out cold.
He's just out. Medical's just like, hey, it's good.
Hey, you know what he looks
crazy.
Like? He looks like the one homie's avatar with Draymond Green, where he's laid out during the playoff game. He's just.
That was who was that that was laid
that
out?
Was
like
somebody's
that?
Avatar of Draymond Green. Yeah, he looked like Draymond right now, just laid out. He just.
Which also reminds me of one of my favorite moments of all time in the NBA when Carmelo got concussed, maybe.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They just kept playing the game.
Yeah.
They went up and down the court, I don't know, three times.
Yeah.
And played around Carmelo.
Sad. Hey, yeah. Hey, KC, hey, man, throwback real quick. Hey, since you're talking about Carmelo, man, that was one of my favorite players growing up, man. I used to be a big Team Melo guy. You know, time is crazy. Now his son's coming up now. It's wild, man.
Yeah, Kyan going to Syracuse.
It's wild seeing all the players' sons coming up. You got Chris Paul's son, who's pretty good.
Chris Paul's son, really good.
Andre Iguodala's son, for a minute, was getting buzz. Gilbert Arenas, his son, separate case.
Elijah, man.
Yeah, towards
get
well,
towards meniscus, I think it was. Get well soon, big dog. Get well soon. So he's probably going to be out for all of his freshman year at USC. That was sorry to hear that. That was tough to see.
I think Jason Richardson's son playing now.
Yeah, he's with the
Magic, I think.
Yeah, he's with the Magic. Yeah. He went one spot before Nick Clifford.
No. Oh, whoa. Okay.
Or
okay.
One spot after, excuse me.
Mm.
He went one spot after Nick Clifford. And they, the story goes, they thought the Magic really wanted Jace Richardson. That's his son.
Yeah.
They really wanted Jace. And they felt if they needed to, they were going to trade up to get him. But they believed the Kings already knew who
they wanted. They knew who they wanted.
So they let it happen. But, yeah, Jace Richardson. With the Orlando Magic.
Okay, Siroon Bagley. After Neek, okay.
Yeah, one spot after Neek. So let's go to football a little bit real quick. Because Cam Newton has been, you know, causing a little bit of a dust storm because he's got his podcast and everything that's going on. And I don't know where the origins of this really came from, but he said something to the effect of, Jalen Hurts is not a top 10 quarterback. And people were highly upset with that.
As they should be. Okay. I was in that party.
Highly upset with that. Leezy, I don't think you're listening to Cam Newton. I think you're listening with your heart and not listening with your ears. Because while I'm not always like in agreement with Cam, and at first I was like, Cam might be hating or whatever.
Yes.
When you listen to Cam, and I'm about to play the clip, it's going to be about 2.5 minutes. So y'all got to, or I'll play as much of it as we can, you know, or whatever. But when you listen to him, it makes perfect sense. Now, Jesse, be prepared. I watched this yesterday. I don't think there's any cursing in this. I don't think so. If there is, we'll dump it real quick. But I think we're good. I think we're good. Here's Cam Newton. After he's already said Jalen Hurts is not a top 10 quarterback, defending himself. Here he is. Oh, need sound.
Cam Newton. Anything that Cam says is going to go viral. Box office. Who hotter than me?
Well, Cam's wrong.
Cam Newton went to 3 Pro Bowls. Jalen Hurts already been to 2. Cam Newton was an MVP, and he got to the Super Bowl, and he forgot to bring his cape.
Mr. Ryan Clark, you're attacking the messenger and not attacking the message. Terrell Owens, we all know that you don't have the best relationships with your quarterbacks. Me being a quarterback, I'm just going to leave it at that. Gilly, you posted me on your social story. And Peggy, I got a question to ask. Can you name me one Gilly the Kid album?
Damn.
Did you know his album was Gilladelphia?
Damn.
Jalen Hurts is the quarterback you got to go through in the NFC to win the Super Bowl.
You do not need to go through Jalen Hurts.
Who do you need to go through?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Damn.
So since that, we want to attack the messenger, Ryan Clark. Okay, let's pull up your stats. Second team, all SEC. We cannot relate. Undrafted in 2002. We cannot relate. That's one Pro Bowl in 2011. We cannot relate.
Okay.
People keep attacking Cam, the person, or why he didn't jump on the fumble, comparing and contrasting. So when I compare and contrast you guys' statistics and Dan Orlovsky, never mind. But the message here is, Jalen Hurts, this has nothing to do with me hating. Eagles fan, this has nothing to do with me being bitter. This is just my thought process in evaluating quarterbacks. Let's make people debate about sports again. There's too many homeboys in the industry. There's too many insiders that are moved by relationships. Well, you're not talking about the person. You're more or less talking about their performance. And that's what I will talk about. Did you know, Peggy, Jalen Hurts only threw for 2,900 yards in the whole season.
Yeah, 2,903 yards.
Did you know that his former teammate at Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa, threw for 36 yards less? You know the kicker in that is?
What is it?
Tua only played in 11 games. Baker Mayfield threw for 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, and 16 interceptions. Justin Herbert's stats, 23 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. So what are we talking about here, ladies and gentlemen? Cam hating on Jalen? No, that's not the case. He doesn't need to play elite for his team to be successful. They're not winning games solely on his performance. The elite guys is. He lacks nothing in the skill department. But like I told him, team situation doesn't require you to showcase your individual talent. These guys that I put on the list are all valid. So stop coming for me as if I don't know this game of football.
All right, we'll leave it right
Cam Newton.
Thank you. I was getting upset.
We'll leave it right there. Man, I don't know why you're getting upset.
Because he's not right.
Okay.
He's talking about, oh, I don't like, you don't like the message I'm saying, so you're attacking the messenger. What did he just do? He attacked every one of the messengers. Talking about T.O., talking about Orlovsky, talking about all these people.
No, he's got the right. I mean, if those people are talking about Cam, don't know what he's talking about, or he's right. He got every right in the world to clap back.
He's talking about, oh, these people can't relate to me. He can't relate to Jalen Hurts. He ain't never won no Super Bowl. He ain't won no championship.
See, once again, Lee, and I'm not even like the biggest Cam Newton fan, but Leezy, you're doing exactly what he said. You're not listening to him.
Okay.
You're not hearing him. And he brought up everybody else's accolades.
I'm upset.
It's because they brought it up with him. Did you see the clip where Ryan Clark was like, yo, Jalen Hurts, Cam Newton made 3 Pro Bowls. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts already made 2.
Okay,
well, if we're going to talk about credentials,
okay,
let's talk about him, Ryan Clark. And that's where that came from.
Okay.
That's where that came from. And he said, if everybody want to go back and talk about, oh, I didn't dive from the football in the Super Bowl.
How he quit.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about what you did, Dan Orlovsky. Let's talk about you didn't tear alone. If we're going to talk about me, then let's talk about you as well. That's all he did.
Okay.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, there's a lot wrong with that because he's being a hater. If he did this to Brock Purdy, you wouldn't be feeling the same. If he came out here and said, oh, Brock Purdy, relying on CMC.
He probably doesn't have Brock Purdy in his top 10. He probably doesn't.
Who's in his top 10?
I don't even know who's in his top 10.
Because that's my
thing. He probably doesn't have Brock Purdy in his top 10. But I would say this. He explained it too. And this is where the reason why I can relate maybe a little bit with what Cam Newton is talking about is because I feel like this happens a lot with me and Keegan Murray.
What do you mean?
People don't necessarily like or agree with what I have to say about Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just say, like, KC hates him. You're not listening to what I'm saying. Like the other day when I was like, yo, I ain't never seen Keegan do something that Neek did on the basketball court.
Okay.
Like with the handle and all this other stuff.
I said,
he doesn't Keegan don't have that handle. He don't have that wiggle.
Yeah.
Oh, you just think he's terrible. Did I say he's a terrible basketball player? No. Did I say that Neek Clifford was better than Keegan Murray? No. Did I say I don't want Keegan Murray on the team? No. Did I say I not want him out there and being a value? I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But the minute you say something that people necessarily don't like, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden you're a hater and you don't like the person. And that's not what happened here. Mainly because Cam said specifically, he said, Jalen Hurts, what I'm telling has nothing to do with your physical ability.
Yeah.
You can do everything. He literally said that. He said, you can do everything. The difference is your team doesn't require you to use all those traits. He's not saying you can't do it.
Okay,
he's just looking at the situation and says your team doesn't allow you to drop back, or excuse me, doesn't necessarily need you to drop back and throw for X amount of yards or throw 100 different times. All you need to do is play your role. Hand the ball off to Saquon. Make timely throws.
Hold on.
Here we go. He ain't listening.
Hold on.
You're not listening.
Okay.
Hand the ball off to Saquon.
Okay.
Make timely throws.
Yeah.
Push. Use your legs when you need to. And don't turn the ball over.
Okay.
That's your job.
He's good at his job. Good enough to win a Super Bowl.
That's good. But
is his job
the same as Lamar Jackson's?
Well.
No, it's not. Lamar has more responsibility. Lamar is needed to do more for Baltimore to be successful.
Okay, and
this is the same as Josh Allen's. No, they need to do more for Buffalo to be successful. And when they are successful, when they are leading them to wins, you rank those guys higher than Jalen Hurts.